god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rap! That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Man, we've got a lot to get to. Here's the guesting. Bottom of this hour, Brett Ciancia. He is with Pick 6 Previews. He'll join us. Top of hour two, Blake Ruffino down in Louisiana. And we also have Josh Newberg, 24/7 Sports. What in the hell was that fiasco we saw on Saturday? Florida State. Oh, I got a nice note from Jeff Collins, Georgia Tech. Remind me to tell you about that, too. 615-844-5600 on Twitter. At Bill is King, and email the show anytime, Bill is King, 7, number 7, at gmail.com. We are back in the Wilco location. Here's what happened. AT&T was supposed to be fixing things today, Wednesday. On the way home yesterday, I got a call, says AT&T is working on it right now. And about the time I got home mid-morning, things were back up and running. Little surprise there. I've had a love-hate relationship with AT&T. I got to tell you, in this case, they exceeded their promise. I know we've all had our issues here with them, but in this one case, I cannot come on here and be overly critical. Matter of fact, got to be complimentary because they beat their estimate by one day. Now, I would have liked to have had them here over the weekend, but again, I don't think you get them immediately when you call them. I think that works pretty much for everything. Everything up and running. Crazy Charlie back at the 615 location. I'm in South 615, and everything is a go this morning. Oh, for all our friends down in the Gulf Shores, Pensacola area, Hurricane Sally flooding, hit as a Category 2 hurricane. Hope you're all okay. Now, those of you on eastward, like Destin, Fort Walton Beach, I know you're getting hit. I don't think that's exactly where the big damage is, but there is flooding. So let me know how you're doing, you folks down there. If you're able to monitor this morning, let Crazy Charlie and I know how you're doing. Call in or tweet or do whatever is comfortable for you, whenever it's convenient for you, whatever you're battling right now. But hope everything is okay. That is the point. Where are we with the news right now? Well, I told you on Tuesday, told you on Monday, that the Big Ten playing, getting reopened, was trending in a positive way. Now, again, I want to be cautious. Don't want to be overconfident here. Now's not the time for that. But cautiously optimistic would be the phrase. And on Tuesday, there was some talk that maybe before the day was over, there would be an announcement about the reopen. There was the clip that everybody was looking at on Twitter. It was Nebraska's president, Ted Carter, who's, by the way, a hero in all of this so far, who apparently did not know the mic was on at a speech he was at. He wasn't speaking at the time. I don't know if it was pre-speech or post-speech, but he was at a podium of some sort. Didn't realize the mic was on, and he was talking to another dude and said, "We're getting ready tonight to announce Nebraska and Big Ten football." That had everybody excited. Apparently, a little bit later, he said maybe that was taken out of context. I don't know what that means other than he said maybe it was taken out of context. There was no announcement on Tuesday. Now, I don't look at that as negative per se. Maybe they weren't ready. Maybe they didn't have everything properly aligned. Maybe they want to make sure, and I'm going to use the word vote, even though you know I told you probably a trillion times here on the show. That term, when it comes to the Big Ten, I think it's tough because I don't know that they ever voted. I keep seeing all these various articles, these print media articles. Well, the vote was 11-3 originally. There is no proof of that, from what I can tell. Now, Bill, well, they said it in court. Oh, so? So? Or it was on some documentation of some sort. I don't trust that. Now, I'm sure they had the consensus to shut down. I believe that part of it. But an actual Big Ten protocol vote, I don't think ever happened. I'm very skeptical of that. So when I say they're going to vote, I guess maybe officially for the first time here. When that happens, we don't know. Again, there was talk that it was going to happen on Tuesday. You know how this goes, though. There's always going to be momentum of some sort for an announcement of some sort, and then you have to hurry up and wait. There's a lot of hurry up and wait going on here right now. I'm not going to be overly critical about that because I think the momentum is still in the correct direction. That's what I think. Not gonna spike the football, not gonna take a victory lap here. I don't think now's the time for that. Now's the time to enhance the positivity. That's what I want to be doing right now when it comes to the Big Ten. There is an apparent blueprint when and if they announce as to the way this will look, the season. They'll play 8 games in 9 weeks. And their championship game, the Big Ten championship game, would be on December 19th, which would allow them, obviously, to sync up and be synced up with the SEC, ACC, Big 12 for the playoff berths. December 19th would be the Big Ten championship game. The 20th of December is when the committee meets to divulge the playoff four, the 4 teams that get invited to the playoff. So they would be, obviously, calendar-wise, sitting there if you're, let's say, I only think there's 2 teams in the Big Ten. You've got Ohio State and Penn State in that order that I think you can even consider as playoff type teams. I don't see any of the other teams in that capacity as of right now. Now we'll hopefully we'll play games and we'll find out, but that's where we look at it. That's where we see it right now. 8 games in 9 weeks. December 19th, championship game. December 20th, clown show committee announcement. That's the best case scenario right now. Hopefully, that's the scenario that we are presented, and that's the one that plays out. No announcement on Tuesday. I'm not saying that to be negative. The Corona Bros, oh my gosh. You've been looking at the Corona 5, like 40 and Wolken and what's-her-name, Nicole Arbach. They are lobbing Hail Marys desperately here. Oh, they're trying. I got to give them credit, man. As foolish as they look, they're not giving it up. They're not. Give them a little bit of credit, a little bit now, not much, for sticking with the shutdown theme. But boy, they're in it, man. They are all into the shutdown. And the less of a shutdown news, bit of news they're getting, the angrier and more cantankerous they're also getting. It's very funny to watch. The one thing that this has done, and I've had other media people talk to me about this too. The one thing that this whole experience, this coronavirus pandemic, the shutting down of things and still areas that are shut down, it's revealed everybody's thinking on this. It's revealed, hey, stand by mine, man. I'm for the reopen. I am for the football angle here. I'm for the sports angle. Yeah, I mean, me too. I'm part of what's being revealed here. I absolutely want to be on that side of the history here. I am so elated and happy to be on that side. Couldn't be happier. Hopefully we get some Big Ten football. It's a long-winded way of describing everything and then coming to the conclusion, I'm hoping we're going to get some Big Ten football, which I think we're trending. I really do. Really do. I didn't schedule. Josh was talking about it yesterday. I did not schedule anybody today, separate from what we already had on the list, just because I think the news is out there. There's really nothing we can add to it right now. Other than, I'm going to keep saying this, Ted Carter, Nebraska, is going to be, when all this is said and done, one of the celebrated heroes. Should be. Yeah, this guy has been standing up for the parents and the players. We want to play. And he's doing it in the face of a lot of adversity, at least initially in the Big Ten. So very, very proud of that dude. I don't know him. Apparently he was the former superintendent of the Naval Academy. He was also a flight officer. This guy's got a military background. He's a bad dude, man. Bad in a good way, right? I admire the heck out of this dude. Ted Carter, Nebraska. Here's what we'll do. Let's take the break right here. Bottom of the hour, we'll have some guesting. Brett Ciancia with Pick 6 Previews. He does a very good job. Blake Ruffino a little bit later. Josh Newberg a little bit later as well. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. It's looking good right now as we check it out live here on I-40 coming past the airport here through Donelson and Hermitage as well. OHB at Old Hyde Ferries Pike. That's a crash in North Nashville. It just happened there on OHB. 100 block of North 6th and East Nashville. That wreck being cleared. Ripley's Aquarium Family Edition. Sleep with the Sharks is back September 19th. Check it out. Ripley Aquarium of the Smokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Napa know-how.
Get all the quality parts you need at your locally owned Napa. Because right now, when you order from Napa online, you can pick up curbside at your local store in just 30 minutes. Or get your order delivered direct to your door with free one-day shipping and over 160,000 quality parts when you spend $35 or more. Quality parts delivered quickly and safely. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating stores, standard ground shipping and exclusions apply.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at lynchtreeservice.com.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable worker. work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, JodyJonesDDS.com.
Jim Rome is here weekdays 11 to 2 on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
The SEC is for closers, and there's only one way to survive in the SEC, ABC. A, always, B, B, C, closing, always be closing.
A, B, C, A, always, B, B, C, closing, always be closing.
Jim Rome, 11 to 2 on Nashville's original sports radio, WNSR.
Bill King is the mother 12th data point of college football.
Brown Man checking in down in Orlando on Twitter. Bill, how about Ted Carter, balls of steel? Hashtag Nebraska president. I agree. Yeah, he is one of the heroes in this whole fiasco. Here's an article, and this is a 24/7 sports article from the Penn State site about this topic. As many await a return to play announcement from the Big Ten, it does not appear that one's going to happen on Tuesday night. Again, this is from yesterday. Still, though, there is optimism that the league will be able to play a season that begins at some point next month. Since Sunday, there have been multiple reports about a potential vote from the Big Ten that would reverse its decision to postpone fall sports. According to Dan Wetzel of Yahoo, there will not be an announcement on Tuesday, last night. Quote, not much new on the Big Ten return to play from this thread, Wetzel says. Sources don't expect an announcement tonight, meaning again on Tuesday. But who knows? Continued confidence in a 7 or 8 game regular season starting October 17th or the 24th. Title game 12-19, we wait and see. Now, I'll tell you why this is important. It's important that we have the Big Ten involved here. Now, again, if the Big Ten ended up not involved, I was not part of the asterisk crowd. It's not the SEC's problem if the Big Ten wants to not play. There's nothing you can do about it. You can't make them play, nor can the Big Ten make the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12 cancel, which was their original intent, was to crumble everything with our announcement. That was their evil intent. It didn't work. It blew up right in their face. As they were lighting the fuse to the bomb ignited while they were standing right next to it. That's the metaphor you need in your mind for the Big Ten. That's what happened. So I'm not part of the asterisk crowd. If they choose not to play, you're damn right we're hanging a natty. Show up and play then if you want to do something about it. Well, I think we're in the right direction as far as that's concerned. But it's important because I'd like to see Ohio State play. I'm selfish, okay? I want to see Penn State play. I want to see Minnesota. I want to see Wisconsin. I want to see Indiana. I want to see Nebraska. All those teams. Coach Fitz's team. Northwestern. I want to see these teams. I'm selfish that way. And you got to remember now, I'm selfish, but I'm also confident. I'm confident because I know good and well you can play football during this. That's been a huge lie that has been sold to so many people, with the media being complicit here. Some of the media. Not everybody. Some of them. The ones you would suspect that are the willing accomplices here, yes, that group right there. I am convinced you can play. We're doing it. I don't have to prove it. We're doing it right now. People have been playing sports all through the summer. AAU basketball, Little League baseball, they've been playing sports and having a good time doing it as well. All the Little League parents that I talked to, all of them, say we played baseball and AAU basketball like it was 2019, 2018, 2017, 2003. We played all summer long. All summer long. Julia, Bill, false narrative, most hashtag we want to play. It's sad, Bill. The Vox of college football is turning into a pox. Okay. No, the Vox of college football wants to play. Wants to see them play. Feels like it's safe to play. I say it every day. Like I said, everybody's got a side when it comes to this. I have my side. Proudly displaying it every day. Will never yield to the shutdown crowd. Ever. Will never yield. Because the shutdown crowd has ulterior motives. My motive? Let's watch some football. There's my motive. If that's political, then so be it. It's not, but so be it. Wanting people to play football, watching it, enjoying it, taking it all in, how is that political? It's not. The other side's where the politics are, 100%. It's not even debatable. Not even debatable. I'm ready for the SEC to be on the field. That's what's hurting me right now. Now, again, we don't count down. Counting down on a show, we don't do that. We don't. But I'm peering off to September 26th. It's time to get the catalyst of college football involved. And that would be our good friends in Birmingham, the SEC office. The SEC conference. Oh, yeah. Nice note from Jeff Collins, Georgia Tech. Just exchanged a couple of pleasantries from him, but good dude. I've known him, I guess, since he was at Mississippi State. I think that's probably the impetus there. And always been a fan of his. He's in year two at Georgia Tech. Not a lot expected in year two. They just beat Florida State. We really don't know how to measure that up, do we? Because Florida State's not very good. I told you I thought it would take some time from Norvell. I expected, though, game one to look better than that. Now, I'm still on the Mark Norvell. I think he's going to do good. Crowd. But that first game, I can't dismiss it. It is what it was, right? It was not a good look. The offense is bogged down. That's the one thing Norvell does. And I do think with time, it may take another quarterback. It's what Jimmy Jupiter's been saying, too. Might well. But give the rambling wreck from – it's actually not rambling, it's rambling. Rambling wreck from Georgia Tech and a hell of an engineer. Roundman, what is it that y'all call Georgia Tech? I forget. The if you're in Georgia or you're a Georgia fan, the politics of that is Georgia Tech, just a bunch of nerds. Yeah, just a bunch of nerds down there, and not a factor. That's the politics of it. Round man, it will be interesting to see how Kevin Warren acts in the next couple of days. Well, I mean, he hasn't come out of his shell in forever. I don't know if he'll act at all. If they announce, would it be him doing it or somebody else? I mean, he's the commissioner. That's another thing that might be the holdup here. They're trying to probably make sure they've got all their tracks covered because there's going to be a lot of questions. Now, again, frankly, I'm going to have questions, but I'm not going to beat them down too bad. Let's get back to playing. You screwed the whole thing up. But if you're back on the field, we can study this as an example of what not to do and how not to handle things. But they're probably trying to cover their tracks here because they don't want discovery. The one thing, look, folks, I don't know that we would be back to where we are. They keep citing all the medical news, which they think they can, that makes them feel better about a reopen, the newer medical news. I think that's a cover-up. I think what we're seeing is the court and the lawyers were sniffing around a little too close to the clue, a little too close to the crime scene for their liking. And they don't want discovery. They want all that to stop. Just say. Alan from Tampa, I'll bet you $20 AT&T doesn't show up today. Well, I don't need him to. They showed up yesterday. Oh, round man, North Avenue Trade School. I couldn't remember that. Man, Colin sent me a nice note. Don't be talking about my boy like that. North Avenue Trade School. Come on. I don't need AT&T today, Alan. I'm good. Here is what we need. Here's what we need. We need a break here, bottom of the hour. I was just looking at a note. And we've got Pick 6 previews coming up. That would be Brett Ciancia. As we continue on this Wednesday edition, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Traffic's on the increase out here now, pretty much on schedule as you come down I-40 out of Camden, also leaving Waverly as well, headed towards West Nashville through Dixon County Watch. Your speed, traffic still looks pretty good right now, coming up through Brentwood, Franklin on 65 going northbound. Hey, celebrate autumn this year at Obergatlinburg during Oktoberfest, September 25th through November 1st. Check it out, obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
What is it about a classic that appeals to us? Hello, I'm Sammy Stewart, president of F&M Bank. There are a few classics that haven't changed. This truck and these glasses. You know, with proper maintenance and a few upgrades, a classic still works today. We invite you to experience the classic customer service at F&M Bank that has been our hallmark since 1906. Check us out at myfmbank.com.
F&M Bank, your money.
Smart choice.
We first opened about 10 years ago. We were small, just a few of us, but it was exciting. I always dreamt of having my own business. It was kind of slow at first, but things started picking up. We had big plans, but in our wildest dreams, we never, never thought we'd have this much work. Yeah, with so many businesses caught off guard by the storm, Reed Waste Management has never been busier.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency, and 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
This is the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show.
Former Titans coach Jeff Fisher.
Who's grumpy this morning?
Coach, I'm not grumpy.
John, I mean, hey, John.
Yeah.
Pull your head out of your butt. Get yourself in a better mood.
I'll do my best, coach. Thanks for the pep talk.
Okay.
You just made a promo for him.
Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton. WNSR. Nashville Sports Radio.
He doesn't know everything about college football. Yeah, he does. It's the Bill King Show.
Brett Ciancia with us. Pick six previews. Brett, from the games you watched this past Saturday, what was your takeaway? What stood out to you?
Yeah, Bill, good morning. A few things stood out. I mean, kind of bittersweet to have it back. It wasn't a full opening Saturday, but really enjoyed having some Power 5 football back, a lot of HTC action. A couple games that stood out. Georgia Tech bouncing back after quite a transition year last year, going from the triple option to a more spread offense. I thought they looked very strong, especially defensively. I gave my coordinator of the week award to Andrew Thacker, Georgia Tech's defensive coordinator. After a couple early game adjustments, they pretty much shut out Florida State in the final three quarters. And then a couple quick things. Clemson looked like Clemson. UNC looked as advertised, especially defensively, holding Syracuse just 2.3 yards per play. Notre Dame a little rusty out of the gates. Ian Book, every time I look over at that screen, he was kind of scrambling out of the pocket. Looked kind of erratic in the first half, and got to credit Duke there. So, a lot of takeaways there. I'm just excited now with some positive news Big Ten-wise and another full slate Saturday. And really 2 weeks to go till I'm really calling the opener that SEC weekend.
Couple things, and I know we're just 1 week into ACC play game-wise, but all the ratings preseason, Clemson 1, Notre Dame 2, I don't think right now from what I saw Saturday now, based on one game, I don't think Notre Dame would beat North Carolina.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was not impressed with Notre Dame. And, you always need a couple of games to really evaluate what that great defense by Duke or was that, slow offense for Notre Dame. But yeah, you're right. After one game reaction, it wasn't the Notre Dame I expected because I thought that we had, I thought Notre Dame had a huge power run game, a big offensive line. I rated them top 10 offensive line in my book. I thought we'd be able to see Notre Dame, power the ball down against Duke, who I had rated last in the Coastal Division. So weren't really able to do that. Now, I do like that freshman, that Kyron Williams. He really shined through. And that Gronk Jr., they're calling him, Michael Mayer, tight end. So a couple stars they found. But still, this was not the overpowering Notre Dame team that I had expected. I thought they would have covered that 21 points handily in the opener, and that wasn't true. So, and then meanwhile with UNC, I agree with you there too. The score might be a bit deceiving. It took until the fourth quarter for them to really explode on the scoreboard, but statistically throughout the game, it was very dominant. I mentioned that 2.3 yards per play they allowed. That's the best in the country so far on defense. And the reason why I picked UNC so high, it wasn't even the defense per se, it was that offense. So imagine once this offense clicks to what I think it should be, looks like a complete team down there.
By the way, that Duke and Notre Dame opener was the highest-rated opener, NBC now, in 14 years. Over 4 million people watching. By far the most watched game, which obviously it's Notre Dame. They're on NBC. There's an advantage there. But that's a pretty big number considering where we're at right now.
Yeah, it's huge. And I think you know, with less competition on Saturdays now, because usually, and I found this on Saturday, usually I'm having to flip through 10 different games. You know, you gotta be active on the remote. But it was, in a way, I mean, it was more relaxing just having the two games on there, three games on there locked in. So I guess maybe that factors into TV ratings. On a sport-by-sport note, I saw that the NBA is really failing with their ratings. I saw the NFL actually was down for their opening weekend. So to see a sport go positive, I mean, that's a good thing for the sport of college football in comparison to the other two that came back.
Speaking of the Big 12 here, and we can bash on Kansas State and Kansas a little bit, but tell you what, Iowa State, I know they're catching a lot of heat here. They lost to a really good team. Louisiana is a very good team. I think that maybe too much is being made of bashing Iowa State and not enough credit to Billy Napier's team.
Yeah, for sure. This is, with Louisiana Lafayette, this is a strong team and a strong program. It's right up there with App State from the Sun Belt. I know that App State has built up that national reputation, and honestly, Lafayette is a small notch below or even right there now, because when you look at Lafayette last year, 11 wins. You know, it's double-digit wins, and the only three losses, two were to App State and one was to an SEC team. So they're legit. You saw it shine through. Now, I think maybe part of the reason is that it was a 17-point spread. This wasn't a fluky, you know, last-second field goal. The better team won Saturday. Every time we look over there, Brock Purdy wasn't the guy that we thought he'd be. He came out rusty. And when it came down to it, the defense couldn't get stopped. So, yeah, and to talk Big 12, really, a lot of people were saying how it's going to damage their playoff chances. I think that's kind of ridiculous. Now, were those bad optics losing the three Sun Belt teams? Absolutely. But unless you had Iowa State winning the league, I don't think it changes the fact that an undefeated Big 12 team or even a one-loss Big 12 champ very likely in the playoff, regardless of the situation, given that right now there's three conferences for four spots.
Oklahoma looked terrific, obviously. Spencer Rattler, Texas did. They were playing inferior opponents. Clemson at Wake Forest, no problem there. Clemson looked like a top-ranked team in that matchup. So really no surprises there.
Yeah, no surprises there. I wanted to see Spencer Rattler. I went back and watched that tape. Now, I know I didn't pay the $70 pay-per-view. It's like, that's pretty funny. It's like it's 2005 again, but no, I caught it last night on YouTube, a re-air. And, you know, Rattler, he kind of looks the part now. I know it was against Missouri State, a team that was FCS and a team that was even FCS 1-11 last year. But, no, still, he was elusive in the pocket. He extended plays. When it came down to it, he was making every throw. He was sharp with the passing. So I know it's a very easy opponent, but so far so good. He held true. Same with Sam Ehlinger. I mean, he, you know, nationally he gets the rep of being a kind of a Tim Tebow power running quarterback. And while he can do that, he's really a great passer too. Not enough credit for that. He kind of falls into that, you know, one of those national guys that ESPN just kind of throws a one liner on. But if he can get past that reputation, he's a pretty good passer and showed through on Saturday. And lastly, Clemson. Yeah. Like I said, Clemson's Clemson. Nothing really, nothing notable there. Overpowering Wake. The three, you know, top 10, top 15 caliber teams, they all, you know, held true to form against some pretty weaker opponents.
Looking at this weekend's games, college games, I highlighted the Louisville-Miami game. To me, that's an interesting matchup. That might be the best matchup to date.
I think you're right on that because, you know, right now as it stands, it's a ranked matchup. Our first one we'll have, ranked versus ranked.
Yeah.
What I really like about this game is that they're, you know, two strengths are going at each other. It's good on good when it's Louisville offense versus Miami's defense. You know, Miami's defense, if you watch that UAB game Thursday night, I know they gave up 17 or 14 points, but one of them was off a very short field off of a muff punt, like a 15-yard field. So, overall, it was a really strong defensive performance for Miami. Now you're starting to see the offense wake up. I know I had been high on them coming into the season, bringing in Derek King. He really, you know, he looked like his old Houston self, running around like crazy, highlight runs left and right. Now you'd want to see a little bit more consistency in the pass game. I don't know if they were maybe holding back a little vanilla there or just, you know, a little bit out of sync. So look for that to improve. But with Louisville, wow, I mean, they – this is the offense I hope they'd have. It was very explosive Saturday. I think it was four plays over 40 yards. I know a couple were 70-plus, a touchdown to Dawkins. So I like a very complete offense there. And, yeah, it's good on good. And the spotlight's on these two teams while the others, you know, the Big Ten, or well, Big Ten, I don't want to jump ahead, but, you know, they're discussing coming back. And the SEC is still 2 weeks away. So, yeah, it's all ACC time right now, and that's the best one we have.
Still about a week and a half on the SEC. I can't wait for that. To me, that means we're fully loaded up here. Waiting on the Big Ten, obviously, but once we get the SEC games, it's going to feel pretty typical. It's going to feel like previous years, I think.
Yeah, for sure. If I can do my Big Fox noon game, have either a Big 12 game going there, and then just knowing at 3:30 I can flip over and hear that SEC CBS intro music, I know everything will be right, Bill. So we'll get there. And the other thing, too, this isn't just your average SEC season. Normally it's 8 games and it's spread out, but this is 10 marquee games week in and week out, a 10-game slate like we've never seen before, and a bunch of ranked teams, even more now with the couple of leagues taken out of the poll. So it's going to be must-see TV, a lot of great teams I'm excited to watch and see back on the field, and some of the most passionate fan bases out there. So, yeah, I'm really pumped to see the SEC this year.
Brett Ciancia with us, Pick 6 previews. What is your thinking on the latest Big Ten news? Tuesday was kind of a newsy day.
Yeah, it was. It was a leak on the hot mic there from the Nebraska president. I saw some funny tweets saying that the leak was planned. I don't know about that, but I don't know. It's just another day because it seems like the last week and a half we kept hearing, wow, just wait till tomorrow morning. There's a vote coming and we're going to get this thing back. So, and then everyone logs on to Twitter and refreshes it and nothing ever comes of it. So I don't want to get too ahead of myself. I mean, it looks finally like, when there's smoke, there's fire. You think there's something coming down the road here, hopefully today, but I sound like a broken record because we said hopefully today about 10 straight days. So I'll believe it when I see it. It looks positive. So we'll see. Also, what I noticed too this time around, saw a lot of players tweeting out some cryptic things like good to be back on the field or see y'all soon, stuff like that. And even some of the football accounts too, the official accounts were playing around with it. So and then the last insider thing was we saw that Nebraska Stadium was all lit up last night, all overnight, that the red lights were all on. Wonder if that's kind of like flashing the white smoke. We'll see, but stay tuned. It's kind of an annoying drama going on. I kind of want to just make a decision and move on, but that's where we're at right now.
I didn't know a whole lot about the Nebraska president, Ted Carter, before all this, but he's making himself – not that this is his M.O., but he's turning into a hero for the reopen crowd right now. Regardless of the hot mic incident that had everybody excited, this guy has been standing up for the reopen group the whole time.
Oh, for sure. I think it's been Nebraska leading the charge.
Yeah.
Nebraska – really was the first ones publicly with Scott Frost to come out, and it was the first unified front where you had players, head coach, AD, chancellor, president, and even state senator getting involved, all on the same page, all aligned. Remember, the next one up was Ohio State, and Ryan Day started to voice his opinions too. The president, I don't really know all the details, but really it's been Nebraska and Ohio State leading the charge. Iowa's been very vocal as well. They had some parent groups. And then you see mixed opinions and mixed movements from the Michigan teams. Penn State hopped on later. Crickets from Minnesota. I don't know what their decision is up there. You're right. It's been Nebraska and Ohio State and Iowa really leading this charge. And it's a shame seeing a lot of national media really take it out on them. I think they ought to be applauded for just showing some leadership, stepping up. Stepping up for what they believed in. If they thought it was safe, they wanted to follow their players' wishes. I credit them all for it. So we'll see if that ends up being the deciding factor. But they put the pressure on that the USC's and the Oregon's didn't do out west. So we'll see if that ends up with games.
Brett, tell everybody how they can get your information.
Yeah, thanks. It's Pick 6 Previews on Twitter, and then pick6previews.com. On there, I have a couple sample team pages for my 2020 preview book. I know we have the ACC games are starting up now more and more. You still have a couple weeks for the SEC, and then hopefully we get 14 more Power 5 teams coming back with the Big Ten. So Yeah, picksixpreviews.com and at picksixpreviews on Twitter.
See you next week, sir. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Bill. I'll see you.
There he is, Brett Cianci. He does a good job. Follow him at picksixpreviews on Twitter. Very good follow. Lots of college football information. He digs in there deep, just like Brad Powers, just like Chris Landry. Does his homework. We'll take the break. Coming right back. Omni, Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Traffic still looks pretty good right now coming past the airport here through Hermitage Donaldson. There's a couple of wrecks. Briley Parkway at Vaulty Boulevard getting some attention. Also, a two-car collision, 4900 block of Franklin Pike. That's over in Oak Hill. Traffic's on the increase down I-40 leaving Wilson County right now through Mount Juliet. Hey, Ripley's Aquarium Family Edition Sleep of the Sharks is back this weekend. Check out the details at RipleyAquariumOfTheSmokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
This is Brett Musburger's Action Update for WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
This Action Update brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Dallas Cowboys, a four-point home favorite against the Atlanta Falcons at AT&T Stadium on Sunday. The total 52. Cowboys coming off a 20-17 loss on Sunday Night Football at the LA Rams. The Falcons, 38-25 losers of the Seahawks in their opener. That game closed as a pick'em. The Tennessee Titans, a 9.5-point home favorite against the Jacksonville Jaguars on Sunday. 42.5 the total at Nissan Stadium. The Braves at Orioles meet at Camden Yards. Atlanta laying $1.65 against Baltimore. The plus 152 underdog, 9.5 over the total. For VSiN.com, I'm Mike Sennett, WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Want to talk to you about the folks at Doobie Orthopedics, and I know that you're going to sit there and go, Plaz, what do you know about that? And the truth of it is, not much until about a year ago, right about now. I ended up with some really bad shoulder and neck problems, and I had no idea where to turn. A friend of mine suggested Doobie Orthopedics, and you know what? That friend was dead on right. I find out now they've got over 30,000 customers. There's a reason for that. They are really good at what they do. I ended up choosing the Hermitage location, but they have locations all over town. Frist Boulevard was where I was, with a phone number of 391-4545. I got the individual one-on-one attention that I needed. They set up a plan, and you know what? The plan worked to perfection. I highly recommend Doobie Orthopedics.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyScan forecast for this morning. Partly sunny with a chance of thunderstorms, high 84. Slight chance of showers tonight, low 68. Chance of showers tomorrow, high 83. Slight chance of showers tomorrow night, low 62. Friday, mostly sunny, high 76. Utilizing the resources of the Weather Bug Network and Nashville Sports Radio, on WNSR's Bob Stein.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Get into the Bill King Show. Shit, man, I just lost my train of thought. All right, dude, here's a couple of phones. 3, 2. Call 615-844-5600.
Yeah, think about what we're waiting on from the SEC. Obviously, Georgia's quarterback presentation. We need to see that. I'm excited about that. Alabama, I think Bryce Young's the future. I've got a lot of people doubting me on that one. Well, they know he's a good player, but they think Mac Jones can lead them to a natty. I don't think so. I think he's solid, but I think the next level, several levels up, is Bryce Young. Just a true freshman, though. We'll see. Tennessee, year two ended up well. Now, year two did not start off well, ended up well. Will that carry over? They open up against South Carolina. Gators. Some are picking the Gators in the East. That was before the Jamie Newman announcement. Some have them in the playoffs. Urban Meyer would be one of them. That's interesting. LSU with all their losses, with a lot of talent still there, but somewhat unproven in some cases. What's that going to look like? By the way, Blake Ruffino will be with us, top of the hour, down in Louisiana. We'll kick it around with him. Is Arkansas and Vanderbilt as bad as we think they're probably going to be? What about Kentucky? Hashtag UK will win the East. What about Kentucky? What about Auburn? We can just keep going here. What about Mike Leach and Baby Kemp in the state of Mississippi? The storylines in the SEC are always almost endless. The interesting storylines in that league are literally year to year, every year, almost limitless when you're talking about the SEC conference. Ron on Twitter. Bill, appreciate the shout out to Ted Carter early on. And again, that's the president of Nebraska. Early on, he reminded Kevin Warren, who was the boss, and Kevin Warren has been vindictive ever since. It was an email sent to him basically saying, you answered us. And it was a public email that obviously Carter wanted to be public, not something that he wanted to remain private. Yeah, this guy is... he's one of the heroes. Now, Randy Wade, I got to give him credit. Now, yes, Sean Wade has opted out, but Randy Wade has been very, very vocal in this. So is Tom Morris, among others. Oh, did you see this? This has the Corona Bros all in a tizzy. 614 Rob points this out. LSU football coach Ed Orgeron revealed Tuesday that most of the team, LSU, has already caught the coronavirus. Quote, I think most, not all of our players, but most of our players have caught it. He said Tuesday during a teleconference. And I think hopefully they don't catch it again, and hopefully they're not out for games. I'm not going to say all of them, but some players have caught it. I don't know the percentage. Hopefully, once you catch it, you don't get it again. Orgeron said that currently the team has about three or four guys who have the virus and that a few players were in quarantine, although he didn't specify an exact number. He added that all but two or three offensive linemen missed practice because of testing 2 weeks ago. Quote, we're probably better off than we've been all camp right now going into the season. Obviously, we have to be very careful. Our guys feel good. The Corona Bros, when they saw this, oh, it was renewed enthusiasm. Coach O basically saying here, it's good to go ahead and just get it, infect everybody, and then get over it, and then you can play. They went crazy. The old herd immunity argument that I brought up a couple of months ago. I caught some heat for it, too. Hey, Coach O, I know what you feel like, man. I know what it's like. Yeah, Rob, I appreciate you linking that, though, because I had not looked at that anymore today. I noticed it on Twitter because everybody was I got to tell you now, you say what you want about Twitter. Politically, it's very toxic, et cetera. But for the show, I love it. But just reading the volatility meter when it comes to this topic, and you know when an article like that pops up, you just, oh, it's time. The Corona Bros are just pounding the keyboard, baby, from their parents' basement in their Fruit of the Loom underwear. Just pounding out that copy, man. I asked folks on the Emerald Coast, let me know what's going on. Johnny Vegas, Bill, I've been without power since 11 p.m. Wentz currently 45-55. And lots of rain, he says, in Fort Walton Beach. Yeah, hurricane, it hit Gulf Shores. That was the main target, if you will. And they said it was a Cat 2 at the time with about 105, 110 mile-an-hour winds. And lots of flooding down there. So, guys, be careful. Yeah, be very careful. Let me know. Georgia Dog, Noel Core, Johnny Vegas, Irish Bill, Tennessee Shanky, Cali Cash. Did I mention Georgia Dog? I think I did. Pac-12 Dave. Yeah, Pac-12 Dave. All of you guys. Let me know how you're doing if you have time. Hour 2 coming up. Blake Ruffino.